welcome to the Pennsylvania Chamber's All Business Podcast, featuring the perspectives and unique insights of the Commonwealth's most dynamic executives, entrepreneurs, and leaders. My guest today is Jim Kinville, Senior Director, Life Solutions at Work Partners. I had a great conversation today with Jim. We talked a lot about recovery. We probably all work with someone, whether we know it or not, that is in some stage of recovery, whether it be from an addiction or with a mental health challenge. And as employers, we need to be ready to provide a safe, welcoming environment so that they can recover. We need to be able to reduce stigma around recovery. And that's some of the things that Jim goes into in great detail and provides some great resources. So with no further ado, here's my conversation today with Jim Kinville. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for being here on the All Business Podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Glad to be here with you today. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do, what your day-to-day is and what you do over at UPMC?
Great. Yeah, thanks for that. So I'd like to start out with, I've been a clinician for over 30 years, a master's level clinician, and I've been in the field of mental health and EAP for as many years. And currently, for the past 10 years, I've been overseeing the employee assistance program for UPMC, which is a division of Work Partners. And we provide employee assistance programs to not only our own employees, all 90,000 of them throughout Pennsylvania and Maryland and New York, but we also have clients and customers throughout the entire country that we're offering our services and providing services for. And those EAP programs and services really provide support to the employees, their family members, and also to the employer themselves. And we deliver counseling services, consultative services, training services, disruptive event management support. And we also have a variety of digital solutions as well in terms of a digital app called RxWell. And we also have a website, and certainly all of those are available to all of our clients and customers that use our services.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's it sounds like you have like a lot of really good resources. But before we dig into some of that, let's just talk about recovery. Like, what is recovery? There's a couple different types, correct?
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute, and maybe I can just take a minute or so. You know, we are in the month of recovery awareness. This is a opportunity every year in September to bring attention and focus on recovery. And in that, the recovery focus is not only for those individuals that have successfully recovered, although you never really successfully recover. It's always a journey. It's always an area of work that you have to do to stay recovered. But we also look at those individuals that have not entered into recovery yet, but are certainly struggling with some level of substance use. But also, recovery involves those individuals suffering from some mental health related challenges as well. And we know that we have a lot of individuals out there that are getting some great, great treatment, some great support, but we also know there's an awful lot of individuals throughout the country that are struggling and just haven't found the right path yet to help them out with some of their mental well-being challenges. The other thing I'd like to just mention real quickly, kind of good news, bad news, I'll put it in this category. We also are bringing attention this month to suicide awareness as well. So somewhat connected. And I think that's an important element of this recovery as well, because certainly recovery, sadly, for some of those individuals that didn't have an opportunity to recover, and they were certainly impacted by their disease itself in terms of either overdosing or taking their own life, et cetera. The other thing just to mention too here, as we look at September, for the first time since 2018, we saw a 3% decrease in overdose deaths by opiates. So while we still have a significant problem of approximately 117,000 folks that unfortunately have died because of an overdose, we have seen a 3% decrease this past year. So hopefully that is a positive sign of the efforts that are going on nationally, internationally, that we're bringing more attention, more support, more services, and really hopefully blocking, you know, the amounts of drugs and fentanyl that's coming into the country.
Yeah, I mean, these are big issues, big topics, but they're all interrelated. One can lead to another. It's really important for employers to stay on top of this, know when to recognize an employee needs help and have the resources to provide that help.
Right.
Why don't we talk, like, so for a lot of these individuals with recovery, working is an important step for them. Can you talk about that? And like, what are maybe some of the facts and figures about recovery that employers need to know?
Yeah. Certainly. I think to start with this, that definitely having a purpose is critically important for all of us. Obviously, having a job is one element of having a purpose, and it brings great motivation, great strength, great self-esteem, et cetera. So clearly, I think as individuals have a substance use issue, clearly one of the key areas is reintegrating into the workplace. And so certainly employers can be a huge, huge part of that by having the openness to work with the employee, having the openness to work with their providers, their treatment clinicians. And also, hopefully, the employer has an employee assistance program that can help coordinate and collaborate on all of this. And I think what we find is that those individuals that are working a good recovery program and re-enter the workplace, they're extremely motivated. They're extremely excited. And it's a real influence on their recovery itself because of the reasons I just mentioned. And when you think about recovery, there's four areas that I think are critical to look at. The first area is health. A lot of individuals, you know, certainly when you're in the challenges of substance use disorder, you're probably not taking care of your health as well as you could be, right? Obviously, you're abusing substances. You may not be eating properly. You may not be exercising. You may not be doing all the other, you know, aspects of what would be considered clean living. So that's a key area that also needs to be focused on. The other area is what's the home life? Do you have a stable home environment? Is it a supportive environment? So clearly finding that or making sure that the individual has that available to them is critical as well. The next area is kind of what I've already mentioned, but it really goes beyond just the workplace. And that's, do you have a purpose? Do you wake up every day with a purpose, right? Do you have a job? Are you going into the work? Are you doing other things outside of work that have a purpose? Do you have hobbies? Do you have activities? Do you have, you know, social networks? Do you have other areas of interest that you're involved in? And then the last area is what we would describe as community. How engaged are you in the community? Are you leveraging the community from a resource perspective? Are you getting outside? Are you engaging with others? Are you taking advantage of all the great resources that are available out in the community? So those four areas can certainly be impacted by the employer in ways that they can support all of those areas for the individual, whether it's having some activities in the office or certainly, you know, contracting with some of those activities that they can direct their employees to can be a huge, huge area of support for the employee.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I never really thought about it like that. Yeah, the purpose part makes sense. I mean, we always talk about we spend more time with our coworkers than we do our own family, right? Yeah. So as, you know, employers, it's important for us to make sure that it's a healthy environment, where people feel comfortable if they, you know, have an issue. There's a stigma, right? There's a stigma around recovery. Is there something that you found that organizations can do to kind of help reduce that stigma around recovery?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's been a great challenge of our clinical industry for years and years and years, even pre my 30-year career, stigma has always been a challenge. And when you think about it, practically speaking, I'll throw this example out. you know, you probably have had colleagues that may have had to have a hip surgery, and they are more than willing and open to talk about their hip surgery. And you as a colleague are more than willing to help them out either upon their return or maybe even while they're out, maybe delivering them a meal, maybe, you know, assisting them. And it's very open, very positive. And most people have no concerns about, you know, talking about their hip replacement. You know, if we were to ask ourselves, do you have colleagues that are, you know, sharing with you that they're experiencing alcohol dependency and they're in treatment, they're in a 12-step program and they're working a program and they're doing well. Probably don't have a lot of colleagues that are sharing that, or you probably don't have a lot of colleagues that are sharing that they're being treated for depression, right? And so I think those, you know, as we get better at equalizing the medical with the mental, I think is the key part of stigma. So how do we combat that? The good news is over the last several years, and unfortunately there's been a significant amounts of events that have changed some of this, COVID clearly changed the mindset about mental well-being in general. Sadly, all of the other social challenges that we have had, the mass shootings, et cetera, that also has enlightened individuals in a positive way about getting some level of mental well-being support. So the outcome of that has been positive, and it's also opened up other ways to get support, right? So, you know, pre-COVID, primarily you were getting support via in-person. Well, now post-COVID, look at what we're doing here, right? We're seeing each other virtually. We're able to, you know, support each other virtually. And certainly that's become a critical ingredient into delivery of services. So that's been super, super positive. So it's opened up channels. The last thing that I would just say, you know, to the aspect of stigma is within a workplace, you know, we really try to encourage the C-suite to get involved, right? If the C-suite is talking about it, and if they're creating awareness, if they're supporting a mission around mental wellness in the workplace, if they have a mental health policy or a substance use policy, if they're bringing attention to it in a positive way, that creates a culture of anti-stigma for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of examples out there that, you know, high-powered CEOs have told their story, have shared their story, and that certainly is a huge motivation for their culture. The other aspect of the work culture is creating peer support programs. You know, a lot of individuals in the workplace are experiencing or have experienced some of these aspects of substance use, and boy, they're willing to share their story. They're willing to help a colleague. They're willing to listen to a colleague. They're willing to point a colleague in the right direction. Easy, easy opportunity to create those peer specialist programs within a workplace. So that would be another practical opportunity that really helps to break down the stigma as well. The other thing I'll just share real quickly to put in perspective, 8 out of 10 employees are suffering some level of mental well-being, including substance use challenges. And, you know, we look at substance use in this way that we try to bring attention to it in an educational way, because not everybody is completely dependent. You know, there's individuals out there that are using, you know, alcohol or using marijuana in a way to medicate themselves. Doesn't mean they're fully dependent, but clearly that's probably not a healthy way to take care of yourself, right? So I think as we look at how do we get the word out, you know, getting individuals to realize that, you know, we're not talking to just the alcohol dependent or the opiate dependent person. We're talking to anyone else that's, you know, possibly concerned about the misuse of some chemicals or alcohol that they're using. So that's another, I think, important element of how we look at recovery and should look at recovery.
Yeah, that's really great stuff. So I want to tie that back to some of the stuff you mentioned at the beginning. You guys have a lot of different offerings. What are some, can you go into maybe at least a few of those, like some of the specific offerings that Work Partners UPMC Health Plan offer as a way of support to employers and employees?
Sure. Yeah. And I'll start with this. one size doesn't fit all, right?
Right.
And I think that's where I think we take the approach that we look at every organization very uniquely, because every organization has its own culture, their own needs, their own dynamics. And so we make sure that we build a program that's going to meet their culture and meet the types of individuals. We all know that there's different types of workers. You know, the workers that are out in the field working in construction is different than workers that are working in the office behind a computer, right? Mm-hmm. Workers that are responding, that are first responders, EMS professionals, they're a lot different than engineers, civil engineers, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, you just go down the list that those are all unique verticals of populations that have very unique needs, and they digest the information differently as well, or digest the support. So our program, obviously, we have a number of different assets that we can tap into. And, you know, it starts with counseling, right? We certainly have the ability to provide counseling under our program, and under an EAP program, it's free to the employee. It's free to all the household members, which I need to emphasize, because the household members are critical to all of us. And there's a lot of multi-generational living arrangements going on right now where, you know, we're taking in parents, yeah, or, you know, parents are taking in kids, you know, that are, you know, older, et cetera. And so clearly that's, I think, an area of opportunity to make sure that it's known that we support the whole household. So number two would be, you know, the other thing here to emphasize quickly, hopefully, is we're dealing with life events. So when you think about the services we provide, it's not just counseling or depression, anxiety, et cetera, or substance use. We certainly can support all of those things. We do, but there's a lot of other life events that individuals are going through that they need assistance with that can trigger some of these challenges and behaviors as it relates to substance abuse or mental health. For instance, you know, if you have an older loved one that you're needing to take care of, and maybe they're getting to the point of needing some further assistance, there's a lot of strain and stress in that. We have experts in that area of older adult and elder care support that we can help the families adjust and manage that situation. We can find resources, we can find options for them, we can find, you know, different community resources as needed, which takes some of the burden off the family to some degree. We also know that we're in a financial health challenge in the country, right? We have $4 trillion of college debt and a variety of other challenges. So clearly financial stress is another example of what we can assist with. And, you know, when you look at, you know, folks that call in and say, hey, you know, I'm dealing with some anxiety, you know, I might be drinking too much at night. Oh, and by the way, I have this massive amount of financial stress. Well, if we don't help deal with the financial stress, it's probably not going to completely impact those other areas of what they're dealing with. So, you know, that's the other aspect of this. I think we got to look at those individuals with other life events that are going on with them. But those are a few examples. And we have, you know, within the UPMC umbrella, we have access to so many other professionals. You know, we have Western Psych, which is a nationally world renowned psychiatric mental health center with all levels of treatment. If individuals have that level of need, we have access to those programs. And, you know, clearly we have access to a lot of other great, great professionals and experts, you know, in the behavioral health field. So we're privileged that way from my employee assistance program to be able to tap into those.
Yeah, that's great. Those are great resources. And I think that all ties into what you said before about health, home life, purpose, community. Really. And I like what you said about not one size fits all, because yeah, we all have different challenges, even just the size of a business, right? Like right. A small business has different challenges than a giant corporation.
Right.
And there could be, I can see there being some things being easier on the smaller side and some things being easier on the corporate side. It just kind of depends.
Right. Well, and I think just to throw this quick example out, we don't care about the size of the employer that we serve. I have a 4-person salon here in the Pittsburgh area that we provide our services for.
Oh, wow. Great.
Four people. I mean, they shouldn't not have access to these services, right? Just because they're for employees. And so we make it work for them. And, you know, that's one of our groups that they use our services a lot, you know, which is great, but yeah, it's something that we, you know, make sure that we don't have a certain size group that we'll work with. So
yeah, there's probably a lot of small businesses out there listening that are thinking like, I'm too small for this sort of thing, but clearly no.
Exactly.
There's a 4-person salon that's using these services, then these services apply to all, which is
great. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So if you're an organization and you're looking to maybe implement something here, or you're trying to make the case for investing into something like that, what do you have any recommendations for getting something like this started?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a few things maybe to start with. I think really, you know, as employers look at this, I think doing an inventory of what they're currently doing around both substance use and also mental health. So an inventory would include things like what currently do they provide in their benefits, in their health benefits around these two areas. And clearly, the parity laws that have come in place over the last many years require both substance use and mental health to be on parity with the physical and medical, but still there can be other things that are a bit more open, if you will, in terms of co-pays, cost shares, deductibles, et cetera. So that's kind of one aspect, one part of an inventory. Another part of inventory would be, do you have an EAP program? Is it an active EAP program? Is it an EAP program that is incorporated into your culture? And it's not an EAP program that's a check the box buried in your disability insurance benefit, right? Because a lot of EAP programs, unfortunately for companies, that's where the EAP lands. It lands in that kind of free element of a disability insurance benefit. We don't participate in those types of EAP programs. We're committed to being part of our company's culture and, you know, treating them very individually and uniquely and creatively. So that would be a second part of the inventory. A third part would be, do you have policies in these areas of substance use and mental health? You know, clearly, I think, as I mentioned earlier, employees, you know, some of them probably aren't as trustworthy with their employer in terms of what they'll do with this information if they're struggling with some of these areas. So having a good policy in both these areas is critical. Having an employee resource group to, you know, let's hear from the employees on these issues. You know, the employees are the ones that are raising their hand, are certainly suggesting that they could use some help with mental wellness and mental health and substance use. Clearly, you know, having that in place, I think, is important. Another aspect would be to consider a peer specialist program that I mentioned earlier, right? You know, getting volunteers from the organization, SAMHSA, Society on Mental Health and Substance Abuse, the national federal program, they have great options for creating programs for peer specialists in terms of getting trained and getting, you know, acknowledged in that way. And so it's another great opportunity that individuals and employees are willing to volunteer and step up and share their story and help out each other. So that's another real, you know, not costly. You know, most of this stuff isn't costly. The EAP is a little bit of a cost, but all these other areas are certainly not costly at all to be able to incorporate into an employer culture.
Yeah, it's so important. It, like you said, that doesn't get forgotten. I know we have an EAP here at the chamber, and it comes up pretty much every staff meeting. Because you might not need it now, you might not have needed it for past few years, but you don't know when you're going to need it,
right?
When life comes up. So I think that's a really good point that it doesn't just become, it's not collecting dust somewhere. It needs to be an active part of you know, your employee outreach. I think that's great.
You know, I think we also need to continue to do a better job with how we're educating our children and how we're leveraging our school systems and educators on bringing attention to these areas in a way that our children and kids can start to learn at a very young age what substance use is, what alcohol is, what marijuana is, and what the potential challenges are with those aspects. Similarly with mental health, you know, how do we get kids to, you know, leverage natural ways of dealing with areas of anxiety or stress or depression, right? You know, considering teaching kids mindfulness techniques, you know, in the schools, I think is something that has gone on in many, many school districts throughout the country. And, you know, when we look at substance use, because that's kind of our primary focus here, kids are getting introduced to mood altering chemicals and substances at a much younger age these days. You know, some of our studies suggest that, you know, between the ages of 10 and 12, that's when kids are getting introduced to, you know, various types of mood altering substances, whether it's alcohol, whether it's marijuana, whether it's, you know, even going into their parents' or family's medicine cabinet and grabbing something. So, you know, that would be another aspect of, I think, for us collectively to work on that. How can we continue to influence the educational system to continue to bring a lot of good preventative support in this area? I know a lot of schools are doing a lot of great, great stuff in this area, but I do think we need to do more.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And again, that ties back into that home life aspect. You had previously mentioned, you know, maybe having your parents in the home, but also, yeah, your children's schools. And I think from a, you know, as a membership organization with all different types of employers, the employer community and, you know, the academic community, there's a lot of interaction. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for businesses to partner with schools on something like that, and, you know, continue to spread awareness and make that a priority. I appreciate everything today, Jim. Thank you so much for joining us on the All Business Podcast. Do you have, if people are looking for resources, is there a good website or phone number to reach you guys at?
Yeah, thanks. LifeSolutionsForYou.com, or you can go to WorkPartners.com. So LifeSolutionsForYou.com or WorkPartners.com will get you to us, and would love to, if there's anybody we can help out there, we'd be more than happy to look at how we can do that, and please reach out.
Appreciate that. And we'll make sure we get those links and all the pertinent contact information on our website, www.pachamber.org. So easy place for everyone to find all those resources. Awesome. Again, I want to thank you so much, Jim, for being here. And we appreciate having you on the All Business Podcast today.
Thanks. I appreciate being here. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for listening to the All Business Podcast from the Pennsylvania Chamber. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. With almost 10,000 member organizations, the Pennsylvania Chamber advocates for job creation and greater prosperity across the Commonwealth. Visit our website at pachamber.org to learn more about us, our members, and how to become part of the statewide voice of business. We'll see you next time.